Is it a guess that we have terminated our journey a little farther away than that?
You mean outside Deathlands, Doc? I doubt that. The place in Moscow was a one-shot freak. It was there for a reason. But it looks like it's getting dark out there. We'll check it out tomorrow.
Then they ate. The redoubt, like most of the others, was still self-sufficient, running off its own nuke-powered generator. The light and the power still functioned properly. Apart from one section where lines had gone down and whole containers of food had rotted to a dark, odorless liquid, the larders were full. Ryan was surprised at the degree of Dean's literacy. Considering the traveling life he'd led, he was good with letters. Even bright, barefoot 10-year-old boys in Frontierville's had to take their pants down to count to 21. But Dean had walked along the lines of steel shelving in the cool storage rooms, rattling off what he could see.
Chicken curry, and chili and beans, and tofu baked, blech, and fried prawns, and trout, and beans, and more beans, and breakfast fry-up, and pork chops, and burgers, and burgers, and veg burgers, and salmon, and oatmeal, and, oh, green jelly, and orange jelly, and red jelly, and green beans, and ham, and chicken dumplings, and beef slices, and lamb cutlets,
if
and...
If you carry on without pausing to draw breath, my dear young fellow, then you will turn white and fade away. Just take your pick, and we can set to cooking it.
Other sections of the facility held clothing and weapons, but that was also for after the meal. Doc and JB cleared away the table, dumping everything into a garbage compactor. Mildred had calculated that they could use fresh plates and cutlery every day for a month and simply throw them out.
Want to check the rest of the complex, Dean?
The boy was leaning forward at the table, head on his arms. He didn't react at all.
The kid's pushed. Best get him off to bed.
Ryan looked across at his mate.
Maybe we could do the same, lover.
Sure. Why not?
Doc had picked one of the dormitory cubicles for himself. Bundled under a pile of fresh blankets, he'd quickly fallen asleep. Mildred had stood from the table, looked across at JB, who, taciturn as always, had simply nodded to her. They'd gone off, hand in hand, to another section of the redoubt. Ryan had tried to pick up the boy, hoping to get him to bed without waking him. But the moment he was touched, Dean had reacted violently.
Get off of me, you fucking cocksucker! I'll fucking kill you, you bastard! Get off of my ma! Oh, sorry, Dad.
Don't worry about it, son. It's been a long, long, hard day for all of us.
Christy had collected some blankets for the boy. She followed Ryan into the room, quickly making up a bed for Dean.
You can take off your boots and pants, boy. There aren't many places that you can, but this is about as safe as it gets.
Dean looked at him dozily.
Can I sleep in the same room as you?
No. Most nights of our lives, we all have to sleep in together, either for security or warmth. Or both. This is somewhere we can close a door on the world. Doc's that side of you. Me and Christy will be this side. And Mildred and JB are one room along. You know where the can is?
Yeah. End of the passage on the right.
Ryan and Christy stood and waited for the boy to get into bed, but he didn't move.
I'll be fine, Dad. Good night, Christy. You can leave me now. I'm fine.
Christy tugged Ryan away, giving the despondent little figure a smile and a half wave.
Sleep well, Dean.
Uh-huh.
She closed the door and pulled Ryan with her into the next room, closing the door behind them.
Kid wants some privacy, lover. Doesn't want me watching him get undressed.
I guess so. You want to watch me?
Christy grinned.
Wait and see.
They pushed two of the metal-framed bunks together and laid mattresses sideways across them. The blankets and sheets were all single, so it needed some skill to contrive a comfortable arrangement. Fortunately, the complex was warm enough for it not to be too big a problem. Ryan took off his clothes. He stacked his weapons on the floor near the head of the bed. Christy kicked off her dark blue cowboy boots, the overhead light glinting off the chiseled silver points on the toes. The rest of her clothes followed until she stood by the bed wearing only a pale turquoise pair of bikini panties.
Light off or on, lover?
Ryan had already climbed carefully into the nest of bedclothes, and he looked up at her.
Well, part of me says on, and part says off. I guess off. Save one of us having to get up afterward.
Always thinking strategically.
Got that right.
She walked to the main light switch, conscious of his gaze on her. She deliberately sashayed her hips as she moved, turning and placing one arm coyly across her breasts, blowing Ryan a kiss.
God, I want to fuck you.
You and half the Deathlands.
She plunged the room into total darkness. Ryan heard her bare feet, then felt the mattresses dip as she climbed quickly in beside him. For a moment, there was a stretched stillness. Then Christy shifted closer, her knee brushing against his thigh.
Hi, lover. Been a long time since we had this sort of luxury.
Can't remember when.
He eased his body against hers, his hand reaching for her.
Too long.
Her fingers found him, feathering across the flat wall of his stomach, grasping him with a gentle firmness. He rolled on his side, closer, lips brushing the skin of her throat, kissing her softly. His right hand delved between her thighs, bringing her to instant arousal.
Oh. Oh. Love you so much.
Her quickened breath brushed the short hairs on the side of Ryan's neck.
And I love you too.
Now come on and fuck me.
Ryan rose first. He climbed silently into his clothes, carrying his heavy-duty combat boots outside, so he wouldn't disturb Christy. The air in the corridor still held the sense of last night's supper, confirming his suspicion that the conditioning was on the blink. He walked into the kitchen and switched on a pan of water, intending to use it to brew up a hot drink and to shave.
Hey!
What the? Oh, shit.
Ryan whirled violently to see JB grinning at him. The armorer was wiping his glasses on the sleeve of his shirt.
Getting jumpy, friend?
Yeah, better to be jumpy.
Than asleep. Yeah, I know. It had to be one of the trader's favorite sayings.
Want some coffee, sub?
Sure. Christy asleep?
Yeah. Mildred?
Was when I left her. How about the boy? Didn't hear him in the night.
Steam billowed as Ryan poured out the boiling water, the harsh smell of the drink filling the kitchen. He passed one of the mugs to JB.
Didn't hear a sound. Oh yeah, I heard Doc coughing his way to the pisser. Once or twice. Fireblast. This is damn good coffee, sub.
What are your plans for the boy, Ryan?
Only knew about him a couple of days ago. Spent all my life thinking one thing, then I'm a father. Boy of 10. By a woman I knew for less than a week. Haven't seen her for over 10 years. I thought she was dead. Is dead. Now.
Ryan shook his head.
I don't know, JB. And that's the honest truth. What do you think?
Trader used to say you never went out on the highway with either animals or young children.
Sure. One thing I was thinking.
Jack Lauren?
That's right.
Ryan was startled at the way the armorer had thought along the same lines.
Yeah. If we can get him down there, that's a long way, but he'd be safe.
Safe, Ryan?
The kitchen was silent. Ryan was trying to run some alternative plays through his mind. From what he'd already seen of Dean, there didn't seem any doubt that he was an amazingly tough and self-sufficient 10-year-old boy. But he was a 10-year-old boy.
New clothes! I can't believe it! I'd forgotten such things existed.
Be a good idea if everyone got fixed up best as they can.
Ryan looked along the shelves at the shrink-wrapped sealed packs of equipment. The stores were controlled for temperature and humidity, and everything looked to be in fine shape.
Changing rooms out back here. Must have known we were coming. There's 6 of them.
Hey, boy. Come here.
Sure, Dad.
Okay, look. There are combat boots. Tight, but not too tight. All-weather combat top and pants. T-shirt and underclothes. Get good socks. Put those on before you try the boots. A shirt. Cotton with pockets. Nothing in bright colors. Some kind of hat.
Don't like hats.
I'll get something anyway. When you got everything ready, you come and show me. All right?
What about a blaster?
Jesus. Clothes first, boy. Clothes first.
All right, Dad.
Everyone eventually managed to make some changes to their wardrobes. Some things altered, some things remained the same. Doc agreed to get fresh underclothes and a new white shirt, but he clung to the old-fashioned frock coat and antiquated breeches, as well as the cracked and worn knee boots. JB kept his leather jacket, with its infinity of infinitely deep pockets, but he found a new pair of dark brown boots with steel toes and heels. He also outfitted himself